Thanks, Justin, for sharing with us this morning, for your courage to do that, and just the picture into what God has been doing in you and through you. It's a privilege to get to hear. So excited to hear those stories. Hey, how are you guys doing this morning? Yeah, okay. Awesome. That's great. Sounds good. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited for what God has in store. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dave Orweller. I'm one of the pastors here at H2O, and I'm the city director. And I know some of you guys don't know very much about me, and so before I jump into what we're going to talk about this morning, I just wanted to share a little bit to help you get to know me a little bit. I kind of do this sometimes. But I got a picture of my family. That's my wife, Alyssa, back there, and our two sons. Jake, he's 3 years old, and Luke, who's 18 months old, and Alyssa is actually pregnant with our third kiddo, baby girl, who is due January 2nd, maybe if we're lucky, New Year's Day, and we're really excited about that, and can't wait to see what God has in store for that. You know, before we had kids, I used to be a really interesting person, and I had lots of hobbies and activities that I did, and now it's all changed. I still do have hobbies and activities, but they all revolve around my kids, to be honest. And one of my favorite things to do, though, is to just sit back and watch them and see what they do. And my boys, I think all kids are kind of crazy, but my boys are pretty crazy. And so I have a running list of, man, crazy things I've seen my kids do. So this is my hobby in life now. This is what I do. I want to share just a couple of those with you before I keep going. The first one is this. Jake and Luke, I don't know why, God has given them an unreasonable love for lawn maintenance. So literally, this is not a joke. Every day, multiple times a day, they ask if we can go outside and mow the lawn, and use the weed whacker, and use the blower. And I know he has a toy one right there, but he wants the real deal. And I don't know where it comes from, because I don't enjoy it. It's crazy. Next thing I noticed, if you let them, they'll eat anything, right? They'll eat rocks, they'll eat dirt, they'll eat poop. It doesn't matter how nasty or how gross, left to their own devices, it's going in the mouth. And that's been on my list. Those are my hobbies. I could share thing after thing after thing with you that I've observed about them. I'll spare you all that. You have a picture into my life. That's what I do for fun. But you know, parenting more than anything else in my life so far has brought me to a place where I'm desperate for help. I have no idea what to do to help with those two problems that I mentioned earlier. And I'm not talking about them, what they have been doing. Sorry. They're not problems. I don't know what would be best with them or what to do best with them. And I wonder if you've ever, anything in your life has pushed you to that place where you're like, man, I'm desperate for help. I'm desperate for help. You know, I was reflecting back on my life so far, and I thought about my college years, and, you know, college is obviously a time when you have a lot of choices. And looking back, I didn't realize it then, but looking back, I needed help when I was in college. I have a picture of me from in college I wanted to show you. Okay, so that hair is, wow. I needed help. I needed help then. Kyle is here. I don't know where he was then. He didn't help me with that, tell me I shouldn't do that. In all seriousness, though, we need help. And life is not easy, right? So as we're walking through life, we realize pretty quickly we need help. And today, I'm going to be continuing our sermon series, Living Water, where we're looking at the role of the Holy Spirit in the world and what he does in our own lives as we try to follow Jesus. And today, we're going to see the Holy Spirit helps us by leading us into truth. But before we jump in, let's pray. God, thanks for this morning, this opportunity to be here and to look at your word. I pray just that your Spirit would speak to us, ironically, about your truth, which is what we're talking about, that you speak truth to us. But I pray that you would lead each one of us this morning into a greater understanding of your truth and a greater understanding of how your Spirit works in us and how we can lean and depend on you. I pray you'd be honored this morning by what we say and what we do, and we want to give this time to you. Amen. Okay, today we're going to be reading in John 16, starting in verse 7, and this is a passage where Jesus is speaking to the 12 disciples. Just before he's arrested, and he knows he's going to be leaving the earth. And so this is what he says. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Jesus is basically getting the disciples together, and he's telling them this. You guys need help, right? That's what he's saying. You guys need help, each one of you. In fact, you're going to keep needing help. And, you know, you're going to keep needing it all the time. It's almost as if you're going to need a personal helper to go with you and wherever you are to be right there ready to help you. That's basically what he's saying to you. I wonder if anybody's ever told you you need help. Has that happened? I don't know what this means about me in my life. I've had a lot of people be like, "Dave, dude, you need help, man. You need help." And actually, nobody's done that more than my wife, Alyssa, since we've been married. She tells me this all the time. You need help. And I'm going to be honest. When we first got married and she started telling me that more and more, I was like, "What is your problem? I mean, I'm fine. I don't need help. You're just in a bad mood or something. What is going on?" But over time, I've learned to zip it when those thoughts come to my mind, because looking back, every single time she said that, she was right on. I did need help. It's pretty crazy. And not just about things like how to cut my hair or what clothes to never wear again, because I didn't need that help, but about things that really matter too, right? How can I be a godly husband and a godly dad and a godly pastor? I really appreciate her voice into that. And basically, that's what Jesus is doing here, right? He's wanting to help the disciples. He wasn't saying this to shame them because they needed help. He knew they needed help. He wanted to help them. The time was approaching when he was going to leave the earth, and they were sad and they were scared about what that would mean for them, right? Jesus says something pretty amazing in that verse if you think about it. Did you hear what he said? It's better for them for him to leave and to send the Holy Spirit. I've heard that before, and I was like, how is that the case? That's crazy. That's a pretty bold statement from Jesus. I think what we see is that's the case because the Holy Spirit is the perfect helper for us. Unlike Jesus, who was physically confined to being in one space at one time and just mostly talking and working with the disciples, right? The Holy Spirit could be always present with each one of them all the time, always ready to help. Last week, Shaw hit on this, but the Greek word used to describe the Holy Spirit here is paraclete, and it literally means one called alongside another, and it can be translated helper or counselor or advocate or comforter, and Shaw kind of talked a little bit about all of those different things last week, but whatever word we choose, it has the sense of personal, intimate help, right? Help that provides leading and direction. The Holy Spirit's the perfect helper for us. But how does he help us with this, with the truth? That's what I want us to look at for the rest of the time, right? There are many ways the Holy Spirit helps us, but one of the ways, one of the most clear ways we see in many places in Scripture is that he helps us with the truth because we need help with the truth. I wonder if you guys have a sense of that. Do you need help with the truth? You're bombarded by messages every day from the world, aren't you? I am too, all the time. From the moment I wake up, there's some sort of message coming at me claiming to be the truth, right? And you've lived long enough to know that not all of those messages are true. And sometimes that's really important. Sometimes it can just lead to something funny. You know, I was thinking about a couple years back when I had a friend who was a grad student at OSU, and he was like, "Hey, my significant other, she's going to be coming here for grad school next year, and I'm so excited. It's been hard. We've been apart from each other, but I'm really hoping that she can get knit in here and get connected." And I was like, "Oh, awesome, great." So I went around to all these people in our church, and I was like, "Guys, this guy's fiance is coming, and we need to, like, welcome her and help her get involved and connect with her." And that was all great until she got here, and I realized I made a huge mistake, because Alyssa actually went and talked with her and was asking all these questions, getting to know her. And she was like, so have you picked a date yet for your wedding and a location?" And she was just like, "No, I mean, this is kind of weird. I mean, we're just dating, and, you know, I guess we've talked about marriage a little." She just got, like, really, like, awkward because they weren't engaged at all. I have no idea why I thought they were engaged. I just made that up, I guess, and I told Alyssa that. And she felt like I had just set her up pretty good, right? And that was really awkward because she came back and was like, "You need help, man. You need to listen." But not just that, right? Then I talked to them. I was like, hey, sorry about that. I think I accidentally told Alyssa. I was like, I think I might have misled Alyssa on this a little bit somehow. I'm not sure why. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, actually, we've had a lot of conversations from people that were just like that. You know, all these people I had told, they were engaged, you know. So that's how we welcomed her here, all these awkward conversations. Not every message you hear is the truth, right? Some people are spreading lies out there. And, you know, that lie was innocent. I didn't do that on purpose. And they later did get engaged, and they did get married. So maybe that was help for them. I'm not sure. But the point is, you can't trust everything you hear. But here's the deal. Not all the lies that we hear are innocent like that, are they? It's actually a little bit more sinister than that, or a lot more, right? We are actually in the midst of a spiritual battle. Paul wrote this in his letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Whoa, that got a little intense, right? The spiritual forces of evil, right? I don't know if you're like me, man. That sounds strange. It can make us feel uncomfortable, even though we can't see it with our eyes, right? This is the truth that we live in. There is a spiritual battle raging. The devil is scheming. There are spiritual forces of evil that are fighting, and they have one goal for us, and that's to get us to distrust and disobey God, to draw our hearts away from God. And their primary weapon of choice is lies. Maybe not blatantly, obviously wrong lies, right? If you're like me and you've ever lied before, you know you don't say something that's blatantly, obviously not true. You just twist something just enough, right? Direct things at our greatest weaknesses, right? All to get us to question God just enough. This is the way it's been from the very beginning, right? Adam and Eve, the first sin in the Garden of Eden, Satan has been whispering lies to us ever since, trying to draw our hearts away from God and get us to distrust God and disobey him. And that same thing is playing out in our lives today. I wonder this morning if you're aware of that spiritual battle happening for your heart, waged in messages about the truth. It's happening all around you and in you. If that struggle isn't real, right, if that's fake, then you're probably just fine, right? You probably don't need to worry about it. But if it is real, then we need help, right? On our own, we're in some deep trouble. How can we possibly know who to trust or what is true? But this is the good news for us, right? That we have not been left alone to figure it out. We have not been abandoned on the battlefield. We have a helper who is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and he helps guide us into all truth. But just how does he do that? That's what we're going to talk about the rest of the time, okay? Let's keep reading in verse 8. It says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." While I was working on this, at some point I came to the realization I had like 6 pages written up about explaining that passage. I was like, that's way too much. That's ridiculous. There's a lot in there that we could talk about, but I think we can just take a simple look at it too this morning, right? This is basically what Jesus is saying here. Even before we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit works in us to convict us of the truth, to help us realize the truth, and specifically in 2 areas, the truth about ourselves and the truth about Jesus. So what's the truth about ourselves? We believe that God created people in his own image, and we were innocent before God, the way he created us. But something terrible happened, right? I've already alluded to it. Adam and Eve believed the lies that Satan whispered to them, and they chose to sin. And as a result, they were alienated from God, and they are brought under divine condemnation. And that's had some far-reaching consequences, right? And some of them we experience even today. We're all born broken. with a corrupted nature and without spiritual life, we're totally incapable of pleasing God in and of ourselves. And not only that, right? But we're heading toward an eternal divine judgment. The Bible says we're storing up wrath for ourselves for the day of judgment. Okay, well, that's a story, right? That's a story about who we are. But is that the truth? Is that really the truth? That's the question for us, right? Do you believe that that's true? Because we live in a world, right, that doesn't believe a lot of those things that we just said. The world doesn't share the same views, the same messages, right? The first is that we're created by God. That's one the world would argue, right? We don't really need God to explain our existence anymore, do we? Or how about this? You're broken. You're born broken. I think the world looks at us and says, you seem fine. You seem fine to me. You don't need anyone else or anything else to be okay. You're just fine in and of yourself. What about you're born without spiritual life? Is it really that extreme? That seems pretty extreme, right? Sure, you make mistakes. We're not perfect. Nobody is, and that's okay. You just need to be a good person, be kind to other people, be true to yourself, and you'll be fine. And on top of that, what kind of a God demands perfect, unquestioned obedience anyways, right? Or threatens judgment? He kind of sounds full of himself. A God like that certainly can't have your best interests in mind. There's all kinds of messages we may hear from the world about who we really are apart from God. I'm sure you've heard some of those messages, and they're not just all from out there, right? Some of them are from our family and from our friends, from our culture. The point of all of this is this. Before we believe in Jesus, there's an intense spiritual battle raging over our heart about the truth about who we are apart from God. And the good news for us, right, is the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to help convict us of what is true. You basically have to decide, are we essentially fine just the way that we are, or are we broken and in need of help? We have help as we try to discern the truth in that area. The next thing the Holy Spirit does is convict us about the truth about Jesus, right? So what do we believe about Jesus? God sent Jesus into the world to reconcile sinners to himself. Jesus is God in the flesh. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross as our substitute, paying the penalty of our sins and making it possible for us to have a relationship with God, right? Without him, it is not possible to have a restored relationship with God. He rose from the dead, and he appeared to many witnesses, proving that he really was God and that what he really promised us was true. Then he ascended into heaven, is with God the Father. He's the only mediator between God and mankind. So we're freed from the penalty of our sins and declared righteous in his sight only by the undeserved favor of God. It's nothing that we deserved or earned, and only when we trust in Jesus alone for our salvation. That's what we believe about Jesus. And again, that's a nice story, right, about who Jesus is. But the question is that true? Is that really the truth? Again, the world may tell us other things, right? Jesus was God. Well, he looked like a person, and he died, right? It might be hard to believe. He rose from the dead, right? Have you ever talked to somebody that's like, that's crazy. How do you believe that? Those sort of things don't happen. And even if you believe in God, this one is a little more intense, right? Believing that Jesus is the only way to be right with God. That's not just believing that that's true about Jesus, but that's believing that anything else about Jesus or about how to be right with God is not true, right? Have you ever talked to somebody that believes something else that you share that to? That can be offensive, right? The world is not telling you that that's true. We face those messages all the time. And again, the point there is just to realize there's a spiritual battle raging, and it's focused on what do we believe about Jesus, even before we do believe in Jesus, right? Either Jesus is God in the flesh and our only hope, or he's just a good teacher who lied to us, or he's just a crazy person, or he was mistaken about who he was, or he was just an evil liar. There's logical places to land on what we believe about Jesus, But we have to figure out what is the truth. And as we do that, there's a spiritual battle raging for our hearts about the truth. And it's really good news, right, to hear that we're not alone in that. The Holy Spirit will help us and convict us of the truth. You probably noticed as I'm sharing about those things that before we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit's help, it's all focused on convincing us of the truth that we need Jesus and who Jesus is, right? It's all about Jesus, and there's a reason for that. Because coming to a clarity and conviction about Jesus is the number one most important thing that could ever happen if it's true, right? So if we're trying to figure out what is true, that is the most important thing. And I'm sure some of you sitting here this morning haven't believed in Jesus yet. Maybe you're not sure what you believe, or you're interested in learning more, or maybe you know you don't believe in Jesus. But for some other reason, you got dragged here this morning. Okay, wherever you're at, I'm excited that you're here. I'm not putting down where you're at all. Every single one of us has to wrestle with and try to figure out what is the truth. All right, but what I do believe is that if you're here this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit is already at work in you, trying to help you to know the truth. And if that's you, this is what I want to hear. I think this is the message for you this morning about what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is real, and His goal is to help you figure out the truth about Jesus. Okay, so if that's you and you're in that spot, I'm gonna make a bold ask for you. I know you're busy and you have lots of things going on in your life, but I want to challenge you to take 30 days and read through the Gospel of John, and as you do that, pray that the Holy Spirit would help you see the truth about Jesus. So here's the thing, if you don't believe in God or you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you're not sure what you believe, that could be really weird, right? To pray, that seems strange. But if there is no Holy Spirit and you pray for 30 days, there's really no harm done, right? You're just speaking to the air. But if the Holy Spirit is real, and if He wants you to know the truth about Jesus, and you want to know the truth about Jesus, why not ask Him for help? I think if you do that, you're putting yourself in a great place to receive His help as you're trying to figure out the truth in that. If that's you and you want to do that, we would love to know so we can pray for you or read through John with you or talk with you. If that's you and you could mark that on your Connect card, that'd be awesome. Obviously, you don't have to do that, but if you want to, that'd be awesome. The point of all those verses is just that even before we believe in Jesus, He is at work leading us to the truth about Jesus. But His help doesn't end there, okay? Let's keep reading in verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All right, Jesus promised the disciples that the Holy Spirit would continue to help them, continue to lead them into truth, even after He left, even after they believed in Him. And the same is true for us, right? And the spiritual battle doesn't end when we believe in Jesus. It keeps right on going, right? We need just as much help. So what I want to do the rest of our time is just share with you four ways the Holy Spirit continues to help us as we try to follow Jesus, as we continue to walk forward in the midst of a spiritual battle every day, okay? Here's the first one is this. The Holy Spirit helps us understand and apply the Bible. Okay, the Holy Spirit actually was involved in inspiring the Bible to be written to begin with. We know that, so that what is written is exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted to be written there. God has so much truth that He wants us to know, that He's communicated to us, and He's given us the Bible. And I don't know if you're like me, but when you look at a Bible sitting there, you see a really thick book that was written in another language, that was written in another culture, and you start to realize it's hard to understand what is the Bible saying, right? There's a spiritual battle there to even understand what is God saying to us. The good news is the Holy Spirit is with us still and doesn't just leave us on our own to figure out what does the Bible say. He didn't just inspire it and then say, good luck, right? He helps us understand it even now. And even more than that, He helps us apply it to our lives. The second thing, the Holy Spirit leads us away from sin. He doesn't just convict us of sin before we believe in Jesus and then say, good, hope you get the sin thing figured out on your own. No, he continues to lead us into the truth about sin. He continues to lead us away from sin. I want to just read this passage in Galatians 5 real quickly. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. A few verses later, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I just want to share that so we can just see the language in there, right? The Holy Spirit leads us away from sin, away from the works of the flesh as we walk by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. He's leading us. And if we will, we can follow him and he'll lead us away from sin and into all the good things he's prepared for us to do. The third thing is the Holy Spirit leads us into the truth about who we are in Christ. Okay, this is the same thing he's doing before we believe in Jesus. He's working to convict us of the truth of who we are apart from God, right? Well, he's going to do the same thing to convince us of the truth of who we are in Christ after we believe in Jesus. The moment we believe in Jesus, our identity fundamentally changes. We're made completely new, given a new identity in Christ. We're no longer slaves to sin, right? We're free to live holy and righteous lives. We're no longer marked by the shame and ugliness of sin. We're declared righteous in God's sight. We no longer stand condemned. We stand in grace, having been completely forgiven. That's who we are in Christ. That's the truth of who we are, even if we don't feel like that's the case. In Romans 8, it says, we're children of God, we belong, we have no need to fear, we're heirs and fellow heirs with Jesus. Ephesians 1 says that we're chosen, we're holy, we're blameless, we're loved, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, and that God's grace has been lavished upon us, and that he didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do that. Guys, the Bible is full of truth about who we are in Christ. And that's a good thing because we're living in the midst of a spiritual battle when it comes to our identity in Christ and believing the truth, right? We have a devious enemy who's hurling lies at us every day, the minute we wake up, all day long, trying to get us to believe something else that isn't true. And it's hard to remember the truth, isn't it? It is for me. Life is hard, and our identity, it can take a beating, especially if we're trying to find our identity in something other than Jesus, right? It's hard to believe the truth that our identity is not rooted in our sin struggle. Our identity's not rooted in our successes or our failures. Or if we feel like a man or if we feel like a woman, like Justin shared about this morning, right? Our identity is rooted in Christ alone. And as we're taking shots from the enemy in this daily battle, it's important to remember that we have not been left alone. The Holy Spirit is right there, and if we'll listen, he will lead us into the truth about who we are. Maybe you've heard those things before and you agree that they're true. That's great. I wonder if you're looking to your helper for help day in and day out as you're in the midst of that battle. What would it look like to depend on him in the midst of that? Okay, this is the last thing I want to share with you before we wrap up. The Holy Spirit gives us personal guidance and direction in our lives. Okay, so life is full of choices, and some of them are pretty clearly black and white, right? Some of them the Bible lay out. Don't do that, Dave. Great, that's crystal clear. But a lot of things are not like that, right? And we need help with those too, right? Should you look for a new job? Should you keep the job you have now? Where should you live? How should you parent your kids? How should you invest your time? The questions are on, and they'll keep popping up the rest of our lives. And those are important decisions that affect our lives, right? That matter to us, right? Some of those are the things that stress us out more than anything else because it's not so clearly black and white. And when that comes up, I know you guys know this, you can ask your friends or your spouse or your favorite pastor for advice about what should I do here. And hopefully you'll get good, godly advice. I think you will. But don't forget God's Spirit who is living in you, who is there to guide you and direct you into truth in your life. What would it look like for you to go to Him first rather than to a friend or wherever else you go to for help with those decisions? All right. So what do we do with all this as we head out from here? I just have a couple of suggestions I want to throw out. The first is this. Maybe we just need to go back to the very beginning of where I started and just think about, are we convinced that we need help as we live our life? Do we really need help? Because if we're not convinced that we need help, we're not going to turn to the Holy Spirit to help us, and we probably won't turn to any other source of help, right? We're fine. And there's something in there to wrestle with. Is God really there to help you? I think it'd be great for us to wrestle with that, the reality that He is there. You do need help, and He is there to help you. The second thing I think would be good for us to think about is just, are we seeing the spiritual battle for what it is that we're experiencing in our life? Do we see that there's a battle for truth, and it's all about our hearts toward God? Finally, I just wonder if we are putting ourselves in the best position possible to receive the help that's right there for us. I want to give you a couple things that I think help us be in a great position to hear the Holy Spirit and to be ready to listen to what He says. The first is this, right? If you're convinced you need help, let's ask Him for help. Let's pray and ask Him for help all the time. I need help. I'm trying to make it my goal this year to not do any work, any ministry work, without praying for it first and asking for God's help and for His wisdom and for His guidance in that, because it's so easy for me to just plow ahead and try to get things done, which is silly when you're doing ministry and you're hoping that God would do something. Let's ask Him for help. The second thing is listen, right? Once we're asking, then be ready to listen. How much time do we spend in prayer, like listening to God to speak to us, asking Him to speak to us? And another way we listen, to be honest, is to read the Bible, right? God has communicated so much to us. And we talked about this earlier, but the Holy Spirit helps us understand what He's saying in there. Are we listening to what He's saying? Are we looking to Him for His help? And then finally, just be quick to respond, right? We get that far. Let's be ready to respond. God is not going to reveal things to us to make us feel bad about ourselves, to make us just feel uncomfortable. He is there to help us. He loves us, and He's trying to help give us everything we need to thrive, even in the midst of an intense spiritual battle. As we look to the Holy Spirit, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, as we respond to the Holy Spirit, we have all the help we need, all the guidance into truth that we'll need. Let's try to figure out what that will look like for us more and more this week. Let's pray. God, thanks for today and for the chance to be here and just remember the truth about the Holy Spirit. And man, what an amazing gift that we have, the Holy Spirit, Your Spirit working in our lives to help guide us into truth. God, I pray You convict us that we would know we need help more than we realize, and that we would know that help is right there and available for us if we would turn to You. I thank You for that, and I pray that our relationship with You would thrive more and more as we depend on Your Spirit and listen to Your Spirit and are ready to respond. We thank You for such an incredible gift to us, and we pray this in Your name. Amen.